So good morning.
Good morning.
Take a big breath.
We are so happy to see you here. And today is going to be a packed day. So we'll start off the morning with what we call a general frame. And so not only will it be an opportunity for you to ask some questions from yesterday, it will also be an opportunity for us. We wanted to share a few more of the healing examples, like ways that you can use this for your own physical health. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to go into what's called the seven elements of dynamic spin release. And that's the seven key elements that make it work. It's the reason it works. Not only that, though, it will give you a deeper understanding of how to use it more effectively with yourself and with others. And then after that, we're going to show you an elegant and practical way to identify unconscious limiting beliefs, and then a new process for how to change a limiting belief in almost less than 10 minutes. And from there, we have a elegant way to show you how to discover your higher life purpose in life, and then to use dynamic spin release to help bring that even more so into fruition than
we'll end on how to be. Then we'll end on how to create more of the future that you want. So it's like Chris said, it's a packed day. So, but to begin with, we wanted to have a bit of a open frame, answer any questions, and give you some additional examples so you have ideas of how you might use this. One of the things Chris mentioned a minute ago was health, and we've had one of the things we put in your booklet, and you can look at it later, is we just put a list of letters that came in after people started hearing about this and some of the things they worked on. And the reason we included those was so you could get an idea of maybe be inspired to try it on different things, because a lot of times I think you learn something new and you create a narrow frame of where you might apply it. This is when we'd say apply it anywhere you can think of. For example, one of the people, and all the people have given us permission to use their names. So there's a woman named Deborah Roundy, and she had high blood pressure. And so she began to spin out her high blood pressure.
And she was on medication for it.
Yeah. And so what she did is she took her blood pressure every day. It was part of her treatment plan. And she started spinning it. And over a 30-day period, her blood pressure went from in the high range, low high range, down into totally normal. And then she worked with her doctor, and she's off it now. And so we've told that story a number of times. What do you think you'd spin out if you thought about high blood pressure?
Stress.
We had a guy. I had a guy come to me, and he said, "Well, I heard about that from this person, and I tried it, and it didn't work." And he said, what he was spinning out is the dial on the blood pressure machine. And he'd see it high, and he'd spin that out. Now, I don't know if that had had any impact, but that didn't seem to work or do much good. And what she was spinning out was her representation of the high blood pressure. How did she think about it? So she thought about it as her, like all of her blood vessels, all of her body just kind of being all tense and stuff, and she'd pull that out and spin that. And she actually sent us...
She took her blood pressure every day for 30 days to mark it with spinning out each day the blood pressure. And so you could see it go down over the course of the 30 days. And then she said with permission from her doctor, she was able to completely go off of her medication. And that was just doing 1 5-minute process a day for 30-minute days.
But the point is sometimes you'd want to do it not just once and think you were done. Or be, if you spin out your high blood pressure and it's still high a few days later, if you say, well, that didn't work, who knows what can work. But the way she made it work was to do it over time. Sometimes we found, too, with like a chronic issue. Anybody here ever get these times where you have chronic muscle pain? Maybe you've had a lot of strain and stress, and So your back muscles get sore, and it's like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. Sometimes just spinning that out once isn't going to do it all. So you might want to do it several times. Where we've seen it eliminate pain is if somebody does something like they twist their ankle and do it on that, and it suddenly it feels, often it can be very sudden. Or sometimes on burns, we've had people report to us that they start to get burned and they do this, and the burns don't really show up very much.
Or we had a woman who had a severe toothache, and she spun out her representation of the pain, and it immediately, within 10 minutes, the pain was completely gone. So sometimes you do get those instant results. I know of one in particular.
I was going to say one thing about burns. Burns, by the way, the reason you get burned, you know, when you burn yourself and your skin gets all sore and brittle and stuff, that's actually an immune system response, at least part of it. And it's been long known with hypnosis, a lot of times you can reverse burns and reverse scarring. I saw 2020, you know, the show 2020, I don't know if it's still on, but years ago I remember watching one, and a psychiatrist was at a automobile accident where a guy got burned pretty badly, so the psychiatrist jumped into the ambulance and did hypnosis with this guy who had been pretty badly burned, and the guy ended up with basically no scarring or anything, because the psychiatrist knew that if he could help the guy change this immune system response, that he'd probably get a different kind of response. I think we had a couple of questions, too. I think you were first. Vivian was...
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, with the blood pressure aspect, I did some work on that, and mine's really, really good now. But what I did was, you know how they have the little figures with the blood pressure and with the arrows, and you see the blood flowing kind of like this, it just made it go backwards in my mind, so...
It's interesting. You've got the blood going like that. I haven't seen that, but that's...
So
reverse that spin.
Well, and if you're watching Vivian, she's literally saying that what she did in her mind is she was imaging it going like this, and so she reversed how she was imagining it, and that made a difference. And we can talk a little bit about... We have some things you can do just with that. That's a metaphor. You start seeing red.
So as you've been experimenting, you know, typically what you have is something that, quote, would be negative or non-functional is going one way, and the healing would be the opposite way. And it's going to be different for everybody. We find that, in general, most people clockwise would be the problem direction and counterclockwise is the other one, but it's not always true. So there's... you have to check it out with each individual.
Kevin.
When you do this daily spin, do you do the whole process of with the gift, sending it out, getting it back? Or is it simply putting it out there and watch the way it moves and start moving it the other way?
No, I would include the gift every time, because that evolves over time.
Okay.
When Chris went through her healing journey, when we began to spin things out, she kept getting sunflowers. And you think of a sunflower as a sturdy but, you know, beautiful flower. And as she healed, that began to change into something else. So you may need different metaphors. If you think about it, you go through changes over time. The environment won't support the same need all the time. So as things change, you often get very different metaphors, and that's your unconscious mind's way of saying, here's what you need to do next.
I worked with a woman who was dealing with issues with her thyroid, and so she spun that out over the course of 30 days, again, doing the full process. Once you practice the process we taught on the first day, you can do it in 4 or 5 minutes or even less time. Your mind will do it fast. She kept getting palm trees, and I guess she needed to relax and just go with the flow of the process. But that was a healing metaphor for her, and she just went with it. And after 30 days, she had all these synchronistic events happen where she suddenly found the right endocrinologist, also had hypothyroid. The endocrinologist adjusted her hormones, and she basically felt completely normal. And she felt like that it was because of the spinning out every day that led her on that journey to being more healthy. So we encourage you to do this daily on some things. And there's instances where sometimes you can have a severe issue and knock it out with just one spin.
Like I mentioned yesterday, there's a guy named Bob Weichel who's actually had a fair amount of NLP training, but he had sleep apnea and had to have a machine. And, you know, that can be a fairly dangerous thing. That's where you stop breathing in your sleep. And we did one session, and he said, I feel totally different. And he was able to let go of the machine, and his, you know, his doctor was very impressed with whatever happened and didn't understand it. But, the doctor said, whatever it is, just keep doing that, you know. Because it's something that's supposedly not, it wouldn't be likely to happen, in other words.
Our friend we were telling you about, Tom Gourley, the guy with the traveling finger, when we first started developing dynamic spin release around 2008, 2009, he contacted me and told me that his kidneys had completely quit functioning. Keep in mind, he was at the time about 72 or 73. They didn't completely quit, but apparently the numbers dropped to the point where his doctors wanted to put him on dialysis.
It's what they call kidney failure, even though your kidneys haven't failed totally.
And so he contacted me and said, I want to do a DSR session on you because I don't want to go on dialysis. And I did not feel good about that at all and said, no, you really need to go the traditional medical route on this because you're so on the edge. And so we negotiated, and his doctor's consult was like on a Thursday to go on dialysis, and we worked on a Monday or Tuesday. So he came in, and being who he was, a very seasoned NLP practitioner involved in the field for 20 years, we did a DSR session for about 90 minutes, spinning not the kidneys, because you never spin out the actual organ. We were spinning out more his feelings about the issue. And so we did about 90 minutes around that, and when he went and got his test, because he had to get some test, his numbers had dropped, and they had to be up to a certain point, and if they were at that point, then he could avoid going on dialysis. And lo and behold, he contacted me with the numbers and the labs, and he was able to completely avoid going on dialysis. Not only that, he completely recovered, got completely better, and did not have any kidney issues, and came back and resourced in our training that year.
By the way, Chris said something about spinning organs. It's early on when we were doing this.
Hold on, real quick. Sorry. Just one last thing on that. That was just one 90-minute session. So sometimes you can take a big issue and you can knock that out with just one spin. And other instances, though, you might want to work on it over time. And you were saying,
I was just going to say, guy came to me. He had just broken up with his girlfriend, with his partner, and so he had all these heavy, horrible feelings about that. And so I had him take all the feelings, pull them out, and I said, what's there? And he said, my heart. And I said, being like a Valentine heart, like some representation. No, he said, no, it looks like my real heart is out there. And I thought, well, do we really want to spin your real heart and blow it up and have your mind doing that? That seems like an ecological problem to me, doesn't it to you?
Yes.
So I said, well, separate your heart from the bad feelings, just put the bad feelings out there. And he got those, and those were kind of jangly feelings, and he spun that. But the idea of taking a part of yourself and blowing it up doesn't seem like a very good idea. Same thing's true with a woman that I had that was angry with her son, who had done something that really disturbed her teenage son. And so I had her take her bad feelings out, and I said, well, what's out there? And she said, well, it's my son. And do you really want to take your son and blow him up? I mean,
At moments you might, but
in general, you know. So again, you want to separate the person from that, and you want to be mindful of what's ecological and appropriate for the person. So I wouldn't, if you get a literal representation of another person, I wouldn't, I guess you could spin him down to a dot and let something else bloom out like we did with the stories. But I think you ought to separate a person or a body part or something like that from the problem. So, yeah, Marilyn?
So grief work, you could do that with grief?
I think you could do a lot with grief with that. By the way, grief has a particular structure to it. And most times when people get stuck in grief, if you lose somebody, usually it takes a whole year to go through all the anniversary dates that are important, like their birthday and your birthday, and you know, if it's your spouse, a wedding date, and all those important times, and then any other meaningful times, because you have to kind of relive those in a new way. So those are going to be reminder days that come up, and sometimes they'll come up for forever, and there'll be sadness associated with that loss, and that's really appropriate. Grief is where you go into a kind of a flat state, and almost always the structure of grief I found is you hold a disassociated kind of image of the loved one just out of reach, and it's usually kind of dim, and you can't get there. And what you want to do is reassociate the person with that, with the person, with the good times, to relive them. Often if you do that, you get sadness coming up, but it's different than grief. So grief, like every other kind of thing, has a definite structure. And the structure typically will be, well, try this, everybody. Think of somebody we're gonna change it. So, but think of somebody you know and put them in like, and put them just out of reach. And make it sort of a dim, disassociated image of them out there. A flat one. They're not moving or anything. And notice what happens when you do that. What's that feel like? Now bring that person in next to you and have them right alongside you and get a sense of them and think of some time you've shared with them when you're fully with them and you could actually touch them and you know, feel their energy and all that kind of thing. Feel it. So notice how different that feels? Mm-hmm. So I find the resolution to grief is typically to reassociate the person with the loved one and relive some of those really key times. Because most of us have a sense of presence with the people that... How many of you have lost somebody in your life but you still feel connected to them? I mean, I think my dad died several years ago, and I think... But still, like, he's still here, kind of, you know. It's not like... The reason is when I think about him, it's like I relive the times with him. And it's not... So... But the feelings of grief, often if you start with that, with the spin, you're going to open up the possibility to make those changes a lot easier. By the way, one of the places I use dynamic spin a lot is when I do other kinds of work and there's any kind of residue, I'll just spin it out, and that usually almost always takes care of whatever's left over.
And since we were talking about healing earlier, I want to thank Lonnie for bringing up your comment yesterday about the journey with your leg, because one of the things she said is she found that she needed to do a bunch of forgiveness work, and then she did the spinning. And we found that that's the one time where some, you know, DSR might not necessarily work, is if there's some type of a forgiveness issue with yourself or with another person, and you need to forgive them first. For example, I was working with a woman who was an executive on a board, and there were some of the people on the board that were just monsters, and you know how boards can be. And she ended up leaving, and she just had all this anger, especially at one person in particular. And so, of course, we were just first learning about DSR, so she kept trying to, you know, spin that person out and explode them. That's where we got, where we realized you don't ever, that's when we first learned that you don't do that, was with her. So we continued to spin the feelings out, but she was still having the anger and resentment, and then we found that she really needed to do some forgiveness. And the thing is with DSR, you can do forgiveness around that. It's just you have to know what to spin, and if it's a forgiveness issue, then you can spin out your feelings of anger and resentment or whatever it is that you need.
And you want to honor the positive purpose for not forgiving, which is usually some kind of self-protection or something. Okay, so what kind of questions do you have at this point or comments? Yes, Sunny.
Chris, when you went back for the surgery, and you actually got surgery, and that's when they found that it was benign at that point.
Yeah, at that point.
But they had diagnosed you at stage 4.
Yeah, they did, and yeah, you're wondering how. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering what they told you after, because every time I've worked with someone, and then they went back and had a miraculous healing, the doctors would say something like, "Oh, well, we must have misdiagnosed that you had."
No, her doctor said she said it's a miracle. Those were the words that she used, but she didn't. She didn't say that it was you had cancer. Now you don't. You know, something changed. So, and we don't really know. I mean, Chris doesn't want to be a poster child for being
the woman who had cancer and miraculously healed herself. I'd rather be the poster woman for a person that received a terrible diagnosis, kicked it into action, and as a result, there was a miracle, and the miracle was the identity level that I went through because of the work that we did, and I'm a completely different person than I was before that and after that. And so, but we just don't know. And so
it's like that gentleman who got his diagnosis and then booked himself into a really nice hotel for a month and had all those comedies he watched and healed himself that way too.
Yeah. So
Norman Cousins.
Yes.
Yeah. One other thing. Thank you, Sunny, for clarifying that. One other thing we wanted to bring up. Somebody asked yesterday, can you use this to enhance feelings? Who brought that up? Somebody asked. And yes, you can. I had a client that I worked with who's a world famous wine sommelier. So he flies all over the world and he opens up these huge events with thousands of people, and he's kind of like the host with the most of the event. And so most of the coaching that we did was around state management because he wanted to be at his best. He wanted to be charming. He wanted to be sparkly. He wanted to be charismatic. And he loved doing dynamic spin. So one of the ways that you can enhance a state is you just get the spin direction of the state, if it's a positive state, and then you just continue to spin it in the same direction. You don't reverse it. So for example, all of you think of an event that has made you particularly happy or joyful. Could have been you aced a test or the day you got married or, you know, just some type of an event that...
Birth of a child.
Maybe a new job or a raise. And once you've got that, notice where do you feel that good feeling in your body? And now, as you think about that good feeling, and you can use your hand, identify what direction is that good feeling spinning. And just for the sake of using your hand, and you don't have to, but just continue to spin that in the positive direction. And then if you want, you can even add some color and some sparkle to it. And notice how that feels and how that enhances that feeling. And so that's one way that you can use it to enhance a positive state. And so y'all can come back now. And you learned Circle of Excellence in here, right? So a lot of what I did is we would establish a circle of excellence. He would stand in and access his state. Then we would get the direction and build on that and then keep stacking states within the circle.
So. By the way, there are a couple of neuroscientists named in New York who've they're developing a concept called spin-mediated consciousness. And it's that idea of the synapse and which way they're going when you have a problem or something working well or something not. They have interesting names. It's Dr. Who and Dr. Wu.
H-U and W.
And, And they're married, aren't they?
They're married.
They're both.
Who and Woo. Spin-mediated consciousness theory, Sonny. And yesterday when I was talking about the synaptic transfer with the ions in the middle, that's where I got that from. And then there's also a guy out of Arizona named Stuart Hammerhoff, who runs the Center for Consciousness Studies. He's an anesthesiologist. And he's worked closely with Roger Penrose, who is a mathematician out of Oxford in London. And they also have been developing a consciousness-related theory that is based on spin. I don't quite understand it as well as the spin-mediated consciousness theory because it's a little bit more complicated. But there seems to be that is the direction that consciousness studies are going in, is they're starting to think that there's a spin quality to it. And it would make sense with what we know about the way the universe works, both at the quantum level and the cosmological level. So